This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett. I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily. I am a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
And this is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the superfan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects. Family, and welcome back to another episode of Anime Noise.
You always do that shit to me, so I felt like it was...
You're just gonna leave me there alone to do it myself?
I mean, next time we can do a round if you want.
A round?
A round.
Just like back and forth?
Well, it would be like where we start, like, you know, like that song that's around. I can't think of the song name that you sing when you're a kid. Row, row, row your boat.
Oh. Oh, I see what you mean.
Around.
That, okay. Like a vocal exercise.
Like a vocal exercise.
Got it.
Indeed.
Got it, got it.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Anime Noise.
Yes, today we are finishing the Hunter x Hunter series.
Fuck, finally.
I know. It has been quite the shit show of OSTs.
Being fucking... ridiculous.
All crazy fucking order of, like, of OSTs.
Even Naruto didn't even feel this ridiculous.
No, this was nuts. It was all over the fucking place. Technically, these two OSTs are for the movies.
They're for the movies, and even within the movies, they're still used in the anime. A good chunk of them are used in the anime, and they don't even go in order of what they're played in.
It makes no
sense,
guys.
On the OST. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
And it doesn't even flow. I'm very thoroughly ready to be over with this. However,
The music was good. But there's also a lot of it.
Yeah.
A lot.
There's a lot. And in our intro, Garrett decided that this would be a good idea because this is our last Hunter x Hunter, and good fucking riddance. And we love Hunter
Not
Hunter.
Good fucking riddance.
We love Hunter x Hunter, but this was just a very frustrating anime to review musically. But the song that you heard as our intro is the epilogue, which is literally the last song of the last OST. And he said that that was fitting, and I agree.
Yes. Yep. So we use that as our intro, and we are ready to break down everything about this. Finally.
All right. Let's go.
Yes. So we are covering a portion of the Chimera Ant arc and the chairman election, and I guess technically two movies, which we didn't watch. We didn't watch those. So it's just the anime. It aired April through September of 2014, and these OSTs cover episodes 76 through 148.
So the very end.
Let's start with the OP, which we're not going to do, actually, because it's just the first and second version throughout. That's the same OP throughout all 5 seasons.
Yep.
Yeah. So we don't need to even go into that at all.
Yep. We know all about that.
So we can already put the cha-ching.
Cha-ching!
Fuck yeah. All right. On to the OST.
Yeah.
This is going to be a pretty short episode today, guys.
Yeah. What were your overall notes, Garrett?
All right. Well, don't we have to go into the breakdown?
Oh, yeah. We should do that. So
credentials.
The OST, still composed by Yoshihisa Hirano. We are finishing out OST 4, which is for the Phantom Rouge movie, and then covering most of OST 5, the Last Mission movie, which are both the movie OSTs that they also use for the fucking show. OST 4 has 28 tracks total, but we're only covering 13 tracks this episode OST 5 has 39 tracks total, and we are covering 30 of them. This is still on the VAP label, and now let's finish this out with a motherfucking bang.
Bang.
All right, that was it for credentials.
All right, overall notes. Yeah. So,
give it to me straight, Garrett.
Well, the thing with this, what's weird about these two OSTs is they had, they felt old school, and not just the music, but the mixing techniques. Yeah, the recording and audio engineering techniques that they use. There is a huge dynamic range, which is really more pleasant to listen to than what actually happened in 2011 through 2014. In the United States and pretty much all over the world, pop music got really heavily compressed, which basically means it cuts out all the dynamic range, so soft to loud. They just wanted it to be loud and in your face. Everything is loud. All the instruments are loud. The vocals are loud. Everything is just at one level. Actually, I think the loudest album ever is a Metallica album where they just compress the fuck out of it. And it sounds like shit. It sounds like shit. It's the loudest album ever. And finally, we've come out of that phase. And at least all the audio engineers I know want to make good dynamically arranged music while keeping it loud for you. Technology has just gotten way better.
Yeah.
So we can do both. And it can sound modern and loud, and it can sound dynamically pleasant to the ear. So it's not just all in your face. But it did sound pretty old school. Some of the stuff sounded fake. A lot of synthesized stuff. Not just synthesizers and keys, but like programmed drums on some things. Which to me, that bugs me. That bugs me. It doesn't feel authentic. I do love the synth bass that they started using, which I think was a Moog Sub Fatty. I've always wanted one of those.
Oh.
They're very cool. They're also just really expensive. But they're very cool. If I was going to play synth bass, it'd be one of those.
Good.
What else? What else we got here? A ton of this gets really similar. Yeah. It's like they developed a formula for their own style of tension building, which is very drony, kind of holding out on the tonic, whether it's a high note or a low note underneath everything. That'll be really quiet, and then we'll bring in percussion, and then we'll have something dramatic over the top of that. That got pretty monotonous, actually, especially towards the end of the second OST that we're covering. The last OST, the last mission.
Yeah, there were like three tracks in a row that I was like, monotonous. I didn't write any notes for them. I just had to go back and write monotonous because it sounded like the same shit. All ended on the same note.
I also noticed that they don't like to use the electric guitar.
A what?
For anything that like developed chords or melody. It was like they gave it to somebody and were like, how can you make lightning noises? You just make electrifying noises. And they did.
I told Garrett when we were reviewing the OST last night that I wish I had a camera on my body at all times so I could record and catch moments where he animates what he wants to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be there to see it.
It was great. I did love how they changed genres or timbres on a whim. We're actually going to play you a song eventually that is going to describe this perfectly. They just take the melody and they hot potato it to different instruments around the orchestra and genres. They'll just totally switch. And it was super cool. Actually, I really enjoyed it. And it kept me interested in a lot of the pieces.
You're like, whoa. Oh.
I did like a ton of songs on these OSTs, but I wanted more from them.
Yeah.
I wanted more from the entirety of the OST. It was pretty formulated, like I said. And I don't know, even the last song, Epilogue, which you already heard, it didn't close out Hunter Hunter like I wanted it to.
Yeah, especially when the first song you hear is Departure. And
you know,
that's a pretty like momentous song. And why wouldn't you want to end it with a bang?
Yeah, I wanted more. I wanted more. But it wasn't bad. It was just not great, I guess.
Yeah.
Few great songs, not great overall.
Was that all of your...
That's all my overall notes. What were yours?
So my first note was when we got to the fourth track, which is actually track 6 on OST 4. I said, up to the fourth track, so far, this OST compilation is better than the last two for sure. Fuck.
Oh, yeah?
And then I said, some of these songs seem too short, as if the idea is unfinished.
Yeah, some of the songs resolve.
There was no climax. They just ended the song.
They just stopped.
Put in like a tiny melody, like not even a full melody, and just stopped, and it was gone.
I did like how they resolved some of the songs with, I really hope I'm using this term correctly because it's been a minute since I've been in school and use this term, plagal cadence, which basically means it doesn't resolve on the tonic.
Yeah.
And that's very basic definition. They use that to resolve some of these songs.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool, but they were very abrupt.
But the idea just wasn't like...
It just died.
Thought out. Yeah. And then I said, the songs here are very intense, which do match the arc. I felt like, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot of cheese. And even if there was, like, it started out, I'm like, oh, okay, it's the cheesy song. Of course, it makes sense, Hunter Hunter. But then it also turned from cheese to broody. So the songs were intense enough to match the arc, and that
kind of made me Fishing Rod?
Yeah.
Fishing Rod was an interesting song. It didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah. And then kind of the same idea that Garrett had, there are a lot of drastic changes throughout a lot of the songs that are incredibly surprising. And then I said that I really want to know the thought process of the arrangement.
For which songs? Or just all of them?
All of them. I want to know. This was like just on my next page after writing, like there's a lot of theme changes within the song. I'm like, I just want to know who thought the thought process and the arrangement. Like what made you think in this 1 minute and 30 second song that you needed to go through 4 different theme changes?
Yeah, I mean, it keeps me interested. I like when they do that.
But on the same scale, I also said that the OST is certainly versatile.
Yes.
So there, you know, there's a balance to everything. Do I think it was balanced well? No.
No.
But do I think that it added something by, like you said, having the different themes? Yes. I liked that they were different themes that kept you interested enough, because the last two OSTs we reviewed they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything for me. They didn't even invoke anything from me. I didn't dislike them, but it's not Fate Zero. It's not Made in Abyss. It's not, it,
to,
you know,
to me, this whole OST, all of them were not as good as the anime.
No, I don't think I think
first one was good.
Yeah, I liked the first OST.
It fit the first season as well. But the rest of them kind of took a turn that, I don't know, it didn't quite capture me.
Like I said, I want to know the thought process.
I do like how they added more synth stuff in they didn't keep it purely traditional.
Yeah.
So that was a nice, they modernized it a little bit. But let's play our first song for you that we are going to break down. It was track number 7 on OST 1, right?
OST 4.
I'm sorry, that's what I mean, OST 4.
And also, we are doing this the same day that our episode is releasing, so when we say last night and today, we actually mean it last night and today.
So far, until you listen to it tomorrow.
I have to go to work in like an hour.
Yep. All right, this is track number 7 or track number 5 on the YouTube playlist, To Give a Marionette Life. I love that lo-fi-esque
piano/beat. I said the bass line takes center stage, even over like the soloing cello that's about to come up. And this song was an interesting vibe. Like, it just changes.
Just absolutely changes. I do love the counterpoint from the melody and the bass line. It sounds very, very cool. Abrupt ending.
As the theme of OST 4 and 5.
Yeah. Very abrupt ending. What were your notes for that song?
I gave you my notes.
That was it?
That was it.
That was it. I wonder what this one was about. Because I know it was made for the movie, but did they use it for Kite?
Well, I think it was either for Kite or for purely like for the Chimera ants themselves. Like giving
Pitu?
Life. Yeah.
Because she used marionette.
Yeah.
Like, that was her thing. That was her nen.
Yeah. So I think that was where that is. I mean, that was a really intense song, so it would make sense if it was for him.
Like, using Kite, because he was the marionette.
Yeah.
That pissed everybody off, too, especially.
Especially Gone.
Yeah.
Especially.
She turned Kite into Frankenstein, essentially.
Bitches.
Yes, I actually really love that piece. That was very, very good. What else did you want to play?
I also wanted to play number 19.
19.
Because we both, like, we were like, no, I don't like this song. And then it was like, okay.
Okay, wait.
I kind of like the song. Oh, this was fucked up. Okay, then it got really pretty and I'm really confused.
19 was just so weird.
It was a very strange song.
This is called Something Would Happen. And it is actually number 11 on our playlist.
Yeah, I think so.
And it is it starts off very Baroque cheese.
Like it's harpsichord.
Harpsichord. And I know that's what Hirano was trained in.
Right.
Was traditional like Baroque music. But it started off pretty cheesy and very Baroque. And they like added this triangle, which added the cheese, such a square rhythm. And then I was like, the fuck was that boingy instrument? The fuck just happened?
My God.
And then the end was so pretty.
Yeah. No, I said, I just can't get past the harpsichord. Like, not a fan. I like the melody of the plucked strings. And then they were ruined, all capitalized, underlined twice, by the weird digital addition to that. And then it gets very pretty, and I'm entirely confused. Like, I have no idea what they were thinking.
This song made me go, what the fuck?
Like, yeah.
I had no idea what that instrument was, and they only did it for, like, two or three notes, and then they were done, and they moved on to something pretty. It made
no
sense. It's confusing as fuck.
No sense.
So, which is why we had to star it for you guys.
I put a negative star, but also a star plus, and then I put two dots and a line underneath to make like a straight face. I was like, I don't know what to fucking think here.
Yeah, well, let's listen to this bitch. This one is, like I said, number 11 on our playlist, or number 19 on the OST, Something Would Happen. Baroque cheese. Would thou like cheese on thy hamburger? That's what I get from this song.
Beautiful. Yeah, I really liked this pretty, like, string plucking.
Very dancey and traditional.
Yeah. We finally were done with the harpsichord. I was like, I'm gonna like this. But then... you get that boinginess, and then
it
goes away.
What?
Oh my God, it turned into a really beautiful motif. Good God.
It's a motif we've heard before already, too.
Well, it wasn't Copied Spiders.
I think it's the same one. Actually, they use it a few times.
Yeah. Because that was a variated theme. That was super cinematic. But again,
with the abrupt
they
ending.
Just end it so abruptly. There is no resolve. I don't understand what the thought process is here.
Yeah, me neither.
I feel like I'm a fucking broken record. Like it's like every single song. It was like, I mean, this is the page that I was like, some of these songs seem too short. The idea is unfinished. I don't get it.
It makes me want to watch a movie because I want to know where they, this where was they originally it. Written for the movie and they used it again for the series. So yeah, I gotta know where they put it. Not, that makes no sense. That weird boingy shit.
That was stupid. I'm sorry, but that was stupid.
Where could that have gone? I need to see the scene. No pun intended with the word gone there.
Aha!
Aha. All right, next one.
All right, so OST 5 was probably my favorite.
You definitely starred a lot more on
I starred a lot more on OST 5.
And actually, we honestly starred mostly different stuff.
Yeah, which was kind of strange.
We only had one or two that we starred together.
Yeah. This one carried a lot of vocal.
Oh yeah, the vocals were a little funny too at
they
times.
They were hilarious. So
they were very good, and I don't want to say funny because it takes away from the seriousness of it. But yeah. It does get a little funny with what they do, their vocal inflections. They do a lot of vocal pitches and weird vibrato.
So I had track number 2, which is The Last Mission, starred. Because my first comment was, are they singing Last Mission, but making it sound like it's Latin? Like,
no,
like,
they did.
Last Mission.
It did kind of sound like that. But they sang Kyrie Eleison.
Right. But it just, the way that they like enunciated it made it seem like they were saying Last Mission. And I was like, I looked at Garrett. I was like, are they singing?
We were geeking out a little bit. It was funny.
But I do want to talk about number 2 just a little bit, because the arrangement on that one was done actually very nicely, because you have the horns that kind of followed the vocals, or then they had that offbeat hit with the orchestra and the chorus, mm-hmm. which I thought was really awesome because, like, you know, you could clap your hands on your knees to the rhythm, and then it was like offbeat. And I liked that variation.
Yeah, that's cool. It was cool. One thing before we play anything else that I would like to highlight that they did a really cool job of was some of the bass tones. Now, I think some of them honestly were MIDI or programmed, but there were a couple that were definitely real, like the slap bass mm-hmm. in one of the songs. I forget which song it was. But that slap bass tone, oh my God, that was so killer. And which song was just really funky? I wrote it down. It was funky. Funky as fuck is what I started with.
Well, that should be pretty easy to find.
Yeah. I just got to find that one. I will find it in a second. But the other thing that they did were bass harmonics. And if you don't know what harmonics are, basically you grab, instead of pressing your finger all the way down to the pressing the string all the way down to the neck in between a fret, you just touch the string right over a fret and you pluck the string. And
or,
it makes a super high pitched note.
Or you are more challenged in your life and you don't have frets to tell you where things are and you just have to find the harmonic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
But it's the same
thing. Same idea, same position.
Yeah. You barely touch the string and it makes the harmonic.
Yes. And the funky song was Intermezzo, by the way. It was number 15 on the first OST.
Oh, on the first OST.
Sorry, OST 4, Phantom Rouge. But yeah, they do bass harmonics. If you guys want to know what bass harmonics sound like and just be amazed by them, go look up Victor Wooten. Victor Wooten, spelled W-O-O-T-E-N.
That, why don't you include it in the playlist?
Okay, yeah. I'll throw one in there. He's one of my favorite bass players. He actually wrote a book called The Music Lesson that I read when I was 16 years old. And for a time, I read it once a year just because it brings you back to... It opens music up to where it's not so formulated. You can just speak with it. That's kind of what he talks about. Music is a language. And you can use it to do whatever you want. You don't have to follow any rules, rhymes, or reasons, whatever. You can just do whatever you want. And it's a very nice... He breaks it down into 10 chapters. They all go over different types of techniques, or really just categories of music that are more important than the techniques themselves. And the whole thing is based about him pretty much falling asleep in his own apartment, practicing bass as he falls asleep with a bass in his hands. And this random dude dressed in a very colorful outfit shows up in his apartment riding a skateboard, and he wants to teach him music.
Interesting.
And you learn a lot about it. It's a very easy read. It's not a long book. Go read it. The Music Lesson by Victor Wooten. And I will include, I don't know which one I want to include. He does Amazing Grace really well. He does, what's that Stevie Wonder song? It's a love song. It'll be in the playlist. You'll see it. I forget the name of it.
Most of Stevie Wonder's songs were love songs.
I know. It's like, she's something about a woman. It was like, she's a beautiful woman. I don't fucking remember what it's called.
It'll you can find it. It'll be there somewhere.
Fuck, it's on the tip of my tongue too. But yeah, they use harmonics really well. It was super cool. I loved it. But what are we playing next, Emily?
We had decided on playing 21, but I feel like we could probably play another one. I think we have time for another one.
Let's definitely do 21 first. Because 21 was the one where they hot potato the melody.
Yes. But before we talk about 21, because we talked about harmonics, I want to talk about the violin harmonics.
Go for it.
So track number 15, The Back of the Coin. I had this one starred, Garrett did not, but of course it's a violin technique that I saw that I liked, and of course he highlighted the bass technique that he liked.
I did write down cool dissonant resolution before the solo violinist.
Yes. So on The Back of the Coin, the harmonics make things sound so raw, because at the very end of that piece, the violins are holding out a harmonic for what, 30 seconds, 45 seconds?
Yeah.
Until the very end. Like, they are the just stagnated pitch that you hear over the rest of the orchestra. And it added an amount of grit and emotion that the rest of the instruments, with just holding out one note. And even at the end, you can hear it, like it goes slightly flat on the way out, like when they're resolving the note to the end of the song. And I needed to highlight that, because it was so good, because it's so true. And it made it seem so real. Like, a lot of times you hear these and it's like, oh my gosh, like, I could never play like that. And then you hear it, like, just one of the violins going out of tune just a little bit, and you're like, oh my God, they're real people.
They're real.
They're real people.
This wasn't programmed.
Yeah. And you know, it just, as unsatisfying as it might be to your ear, being a musician and hearing people who have been playing for 20 plus, 30 plus years, and they go flat on a harmonic, is so natural and real. And it conveyed something that I just liked hearing. I liked hearing it. It was very nice to hear that.
Honestly, going flat in a song isn't necessarily unpleasant unless it's pop music.
Right.
You know, but that it conveys emotion. Music is a language. So it does convey a level of emotion that, like, have you ever stuttered over your words before?
All the time.
Yeah. Did you ever use it like it came out of your mouth cool?
Meh.
Maybe not.
Meh.
Busta Rhymes stutters all the time.
That's true. That's true.
That's how he fucking raps. So yeah, it's very cool when you get to see just music being captured in the moment.
Yeah. And it was. And I really enjoyed hearing it. And you're like, and you, actually, you don't even like, you're so entranced by the music that you don't realize that it's like what's happening. And it's very hard because a lot of times when, you know, violins hold out a vibrato or hold out a note, there usually is some vibrato on it. But with a harmonic, you can't vibrato. You have to hold your finger
over.
Yeah,
you're hovering over the string.
You're hovering over the string. And if you
you're
move.
You're pressing it down.
If you move, you're pressing on the string.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, they're holding out a harmonic. Oh, they are holding out a harmonic.
Yeah, it's
and which
very
is
cool.
Hard because you're not now you're focusing on your bowing and keeping the string down at the same time, which is a very difficult thing to do for a long period of time on a violin. So I give kudos to that orchestra for sure. Okay, now we can move on.
21 Invaders, which is 28 on the playlist. It is so different from the rest. A very nice piece. I wasn't expecting it to head in this direction.
Mm-mm.
It turns timbres on a dime. And this is the perfect example of hot potatoing a melody. I loved it.
Yeah. It actually starts out kind of sounding like the Tonikawa opening theme.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But it ends up being pretty jazzy. And then it ends on a really broody note, which I expect, but didn't. And I said that this song is all over the place.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's play it. Here it is.
Bum, ba-da-da-da-da-dum. Like, you don't expect jazz.
No, not at all.
There it is.
Drastic change.
Dropped it real fast.
Marching snare?
It's an they're invading. At least the instrumentation made sense for like a minute.
You got these bells. I'm about to change timbres again. Don't worry.
Don't worry. We're still on for a ride for another 2 minutes. It's like a swell, but not really a swell.
It still was.
This is a swell.
They did use some pretty cool jazz piano throughout this entire OST.
Yeah.
It's like the chaotic jazz, like Soul Eater. Throwing it back to episode one, baby.
Yeah. We're coming up on a year, too.
We are.
So broody. And so then broody. Instant end.
Yes. And then we're done.
Yeah.
So this actually wasn't the hot potato melody. It was the one before that, number 20. But they still turned timbres on a dime.
Oh, yeah. The restriction and pledge. The theme changes from very hectic to almost sentimental with the piano solo. Then it slows down to the cello part that we've heard before. It's an ominous and slow build, but then a glimpse of a rock show?
Yeah, can we play that one really quick?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah. This is another example of like the electric guitar being used very slightly.
Yeah. Electricity noises. I really like the melody of this. So much to say with so few notes. But let's toss it around the orchestra. I love the phrase and the piano that made the melody really pretty, and then the guitar and bass for a second, super interesting.
Yeah.
See? Piano, here we go.
Sounds like it should be from Harry Potter.
They've gone all over the orchestra with this melody.
Yeah. Oh, look, a rock show.
For a second.
Yeah. And it's done. So strange.
So strange. Just had to make sure you were listening.
Keeping you on your toes.
Keeping you on your toes. Yeah. Another great song. Just a very interesting piece. How they went all over the place. I loved it. That's all I have to play.
I loved it. Yeah, same.
That's all I have to play from the album. But now, I guess we got one more song to do.
We do.
Cool.
Yeah.
This one, they actually did a couple of renditions of it in the OST. It's ending number 5, Hiyori Itai, Two Sides of the Same Coin by Yuzu. It was released December of 2013 as their 40th single and appeared on the album Shinsekai. It peaked at number 4 on the Oricon and number 2 on the Japan Billboard charts. They also used this theme for the second movie, The Last Mission. And to talk about Yuzu, well, we already did all that.
Like the last two endings.
Yeah, last two endings of Hunter x Hunter. And what else? There was another one that we did.
I don't know.
We just did it.
I don't know.
We watch a lot of anime.
We watch a lot of anime.
Listen to a lot of fucking music, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So let's take a listen to the song, Hiyori Itai. Here it comes.
And this, a lot of people thought this was just about Gon and Killua, but this is like not just about them. And actually, the ending sequence shows that. Because it actually shows coins. the
emperor, the Chimera Ant Emperor. And
Meruem, and then Kamugi.
Kamugi, that's her name. Two sides of the same coin.
Yep, there is the coins. And then, of course, Gon and Killua.
But who else?
And then Ito and the chairman, because that was like the only guard that he like felt was worthy of his strength.
Oh, yeah. Wacha. Yeah, that song is, to me, it's just okay.
It's okay.
It's not my favorite Yuzu song. I don't know why. I guess it's just super poppy that it peaked at number four and number two.
Yeah.
And it was probably just because Hunter x Hunter was super, it still is super popular.
So, yeah, we're all still fucking waiting for the next season.
There's a lot of world building that you could still do.
So frustrating.
Damn it.
Okay, so let's talk about some lyrics. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Woo, 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 woo. That's the first part of the song
that they don't play. There's a lot of poetry in that.
Indulging in the mornings and spitting out the nights. It's our nature of living, this feeling that boils up inside me. Is it white or black?
I don't know.
The future that I aim for and the past that I left behind, twisting together round and round, they're connected. Yeah. Two sides of the same coin. The coin that I flipped dances in the sky. Just which ending do I wish for? Two sides of the same coin. The brighter light, the darker the shadow. If that's so, then where will I go? Two futures overlapped. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. It's not, it seems kind of generic.
It's very generic. Oh God, the sun is like coming through this window with a vengeance.
I'm sorry about that. Fuck. Sucks to suck, yo.
Fuck the morning time.
Yeah, this feels super generic. I don't know what else to say about it. The lyrics are just like...
the lyrics sound like something somebody said before.
It doesn't sound like it has to do with Hunter x Hunter at all.
No.
You would never tell from the lyrics that this was for Hunter x Hunter. It does. I mean... It kind of makes sense with the animation of the ending sequence. I don't know. The song's just okay to me.
I feel like the ending animation made the song fit.
Yes. To me, it gets a meh. It kind of fits.
It gets a C. It gets a C. It passes.
It doesn't.
But it's not.
Do you think it fits the anime?
Do
you think it fits the ending? This is the last shit you hear for the anime.
Well, I mean, they somehow managed to make two songs of it for the OST. You got the overture and the lamento for piano.
The melody's good. It's not like the melody's bad, but does it fit the anime?
I don't think it doesn't fit the anime. That's the problem.
Okay.
Is that it's like, I'm so in between.
Yeah, I don't even know what sound to play for
this. My parents would be disappointed if I got a C, but I still passed the class. So, like, it's two sides of the same fucking coin. Aha!
We still have yet to find the sound for, like, a meh.
I think that's probably a sound.
It's just a meh.
It's a meh.
I wanted to find a funnier sound than that, but meow. We have the cha-ching and we have the meh. Wah. So what do we, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
You just chop them both in half and then just overlap them.
Yeah, whatever it is.
All right. Well, that concludes the music. And now I have some talking points that need to be talked about.
Talking points that need to be talked about.
Yeah. Can anybody fucking tell me what the resurrection scene was supposed to be
for Meruem
that ended up being a cannibalistic threesome? Like, are you fucking kidding me? What the hell was that?
That was hot. So hot.
Like, do y'all remember that? Like, homeboy, demon looking homeboy holding Meruem and butterfly homie, like, be like, take my blood. And he's like, I will never partake in anything more or anything less. And he's like, yes, he's like,
I could feel your love for me from tasting you.
He has that fucking orgasm and like, yes, take more, take all of me. Yes.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Polygon has just recently released an article that stays true to the WTF moments in these episodes. They explain the arc in a way that makes it actually fun to recall the series of events that happened in the Chimera Ant arc. And I actually enjoyed reading it because I was like, yep, you're not wrong. Nope.
Can we add that link to the show notes?
Yes, we sure can.
Sweet.
I'll find it when I get off.
I want to read that too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that concludes our Hunter x Hunter. Let's insert an applause here as well.
We did it. We finished.
Yeah.
I want to thank my mom and my dad for making me. We're done.
Yay. So this next week, we're going to be doing the second season of Fate Zero, because we have been putting off watching Fate Stay Night so we can stay true to ourselves on watching and recording.
Yes.
Very similarly. Yep, however, if you didn't see our Instagram post, and maybe you don't follow us on Instagram, but you listen to our episodes, we have some development in our Fate series watching.
Oh yeah, I guess we haven't told anybody that on the podcast. Huh?
We haven't talked. We just recorded that last week.
You're right. Well, yeah, that's so. We're gonna watch it in our. We definitely watched it in our own order. We didn't follow any sort of.
We didn't follow anything that we were supposed to.
No, we read about how we were supposed to watch it, what order we should watch it in, chose a particular order, and then we're like, nah, we'll watch it our own way. We got maybe 4 or 5 episodes into Fate Stay Night, the original.
2006.
And we're like, this
just doesn't make any sense. There's so many pieces.
There's some missing puzzle pieces here. And maybe we would have found out about them, but we were like, I think we should just switch over
to Unlimited Blade Works,
because that was technically what followed, and they redid it. And it's mostly the same from what I've seen, at least like the first 4 episodes.
Yeah,
the
details were the same.
But I loved the prologue that they did from Reen's point of view.
Yeah.
That was way cooler. So we got to see that. And then it's like we got to see episode 1 of Fate Stay Night, the original, all over again. And it made so much more sense.
Like even the fact that when Saber found out that he was Emiya, she was like, she questioned it. Like in Fate Stay Night 2006, like I was like, doesn't she know? Doesn't she know that he's like.
And maybe she would have found out later, but we didn't see Fate Zero. Fate Zero didn't exist. So there was like, yeah, there's a lot of questions. Plus, the animation is just so much better.
Yeah.
It is.
And the music too.
It is ungodly how good it is.
Yeah. So, you know, you can all hate on us. That's fine. We deserve it. We watched it out of an order that we said we were going to watch it in.
I might finish it up.
But I do think
this is so much better, though.
I do think we are going to watch Fate Stay Night or Fate. Sorry. Yeah. Fate Stay Night. The
Unlimited
original.
Oh, you mean the original.
We're going to watch that. We have to.
Yes.
We're going to do a comparison. We probably won't do Fate Stay Night 2006 in the order that we were initially going to do it. We'll probably save that one for later, and we'll move from Fate Zero to Unlimited Blade Works because that's the one that we're primarily focusing on.
Yeah. Also, the music isn't that good in Fate Stay Night.
It's super cheesy and generic and just kind of what you would hear from like a harem anime.
So is the animation. The animation is not very good too. It seemed very low budget. Plus, this whole thing in the manga was supposed to be some erotic novel or like have, you know, erotic
tendencies,
overtones. And they didn't do that really in the original. They made it, you can definitely see the sexual tension between the masters and the servants.
Yeah.
In
Unlimited Blade Works.
Unlimited Blade Works.
Now the
animation's better. The music is fucking way better.
The reason that I think that is, though, is kind of why they had to censor the latest episode of My Hero Academia. Because it was probably in a time slot that was meant for younger children. And they couldn't really do that.
It's also 2006.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's probably what it was. So it makes sense. But at the same time, Unlimited Blade Works just worked for the order that we were doing it in. Customize your own order, people, and don't judge us.
Oh, yeah.
You can, but we don't really care.
Yeah.
And also, just an update. So we're going to do Fate Zero, and we're really not sure what we're going to do. We did find out that Fire Force has all of the OSTs current.
Ooh.
So we might be doing that one soon.
Yeah.
But I'm putting this out there. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but we may take a week break to get ahead because this whole thing that we're doing today where we're doing the recording editing and we're working all in the same day.
Yeah, I got work in a couple hours.
It's just a lot. I have work in like 30 minutes. So I don't know if that's going to happen. We might be able to catch up because Garrett doesn't have any gigs for a couple weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be able to catch up and get ahead, and that would put us in a good place. But right now, we need to focus on our sanity. as well.
Yes. We got to figure out a routine.
Yeah. And right now with Garrett being in work and Mabry starting school on Tuesday and kind of going back and forth, it's kind of been an adjustment. So I'm just letting you know, it may or may not happen, but this is something that might be on the radar and we will definitely let you know.
It's okay. It'll give you guys, if you haven't listened to all of our episodes, time
to catch up,
to go back and listen to the other episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Well, that's pretty much it.
That's
Emily,
it.
Take us on out.
My lovely people.
Beautiful.
Yes. We are absolutely thrilled every single week to have you along for the ride. Whether you are chilling like a villain in your own BBC, or you're taking us with you for whatever ride it might be, a bike ride, a walk, car ride, who fucking cares? We love sharing our love of music and anime and sound effects. And when we get to Fire Force, they're going to be about a bunch of sound effects.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Same with Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, yeah.
Shitballs.
And Demon Slayer.
Yes. And on that note, if you could do just a couple things for us. One, go follow our Instagram page. We would love to talk to you. That's how we communicate with everybody. Message us on Instagram, comment on a photo, whatever it is. Share your art, your music, your love of anime and sound effects, whatever it is. Talk to us, please. That's how we get in touch with you and get to know you. The other thing, there's a link in our show notes, a couple links actually, for the playlist that's on YouTube. It has, it's got to be updated a little bit. I actually have to update 3 playlists now. This is why we got to take a week off. I got to catch up. There is a link in the show notes. Go click on that for the playlist. You can listen along to all the songs that we had today. And you can listen to the whole OST if you'd like. We recommend it.
Yes.
And there's also a link to our Etsy shop. So if you guys are feeling generous and you would like to support the show, but you'd like to get something more than just entertainment out of it, go click on that link. Go check out our Etsy page. We got stickers, prints, buttons, and our shirt.
Our shirt, which is fully customizable. I just made mine into a crop top today.
Yes. Yes, you did. Fully t-shirt customizable, as long as you take scissors to it. So, yeah, go check out that link. And if you're feeling generous and you don't need anything but entertainment in return, there's also a link to our Buy Me a Coffee, which is just like a little $5 tip if you enjoyed the show. It means a lot to us, and we will screenshot it and post it all over our Instagrams and shit. So we also have a Facebook page, too, which seems
apparently
to
that's a
be
thing.
Blowing up. not blowing up is a stretch. That's quite the hyperbole, but it's growing faster than we anticipated. We don't really post on Facebook that much, but we might start to now. Also, check out our YouTube. We're going to have a bunch of other videos up there. Anime Meditation Station's coming out soon. And that'll be a live stream, 24-hour live stream.
Yeah.
So that's a project in the works, too.
That's within our, if we take a break, that's what we're going to be working on.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. And reels and stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of content for you. So go click on those links, check it out, and hit us up.
Yeah. Also, exciting news for Emily. Also, for all of you that I have harassed at Ramen Tatsuya and you are listening to this, I appreciate you being here. Thank you for dealing with me and my weirdness.
Oh, God.
But also, I met somebody worth noting yesterday at work who is a regular, Jason Liebrick, Ernesto Jason Liebrick. He is the English dub voice actor for Dobby in My Hero Academia and Yato from Noragami and Zeke Jaeger from Attack on Titan.
And Jace from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, and Champa from Dragon Ball Super.
Mm-hmm.
I met him yesterday and his son, and I gave him a business card. And I hope that you might or may not be listening right now, but we would love to have you on the show. I can't wait
Absolutely.
To see you again and talk about more anime. His girlfriend also is Midnight in My Hero Academia. Like she's all over the place as well. So it was I fangirled real hard yesterday at work.
I bet you did.
I was like behind the bar and I was like, Chris, let me take his drink to him. Chris, let me take his drink to him. Please, 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 please.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I fangirled. It was embarrassing, but I loved every moment of it.
Well, thank you for embarrassing me now.
Rude. I kept it very classy.
All right, guys. Well, that is it from us. We will hopefully see you next week, if not the following.
We will definitely see you next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.